If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews in chapter 11, and we'll begin with verse 8. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 is considered to be the Faith Hall of Fame chapter in the Bible, because it lists some of the great people of faith in the Bible, things that they did, and also goes on to speak about some of the people that even down through what was the beginning of the early church there. At the time, some of the apostles were still alive and were writing about what things were taking place. So as we turn now to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10, we want to talk about or read about here one of the older members of that Hall of Fame by the name of Abraham. And it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called out to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, we all go through life looking for something, don't we? As soon as you're old enough to realize a little bit, even, of what's going on in the world around you, we begin looking for things. And I know, like the little kids here, and some of you, even though you may be up in years a few and you may have gray hair, some of you at this time of the year, you still become like little kids, you know, and you're looking for something. But especially like the little ones, that they're excited about the season. And although they don't necessarily comprehend all that's going on around them as far as what the meaning of this is, they are expecting and they are looking for something to take place in just a couple of weeks. Some excitement is building, and they get, their eyes light up when you begin to talk to them about Christmas, you know. So we're looking for something. People, as they go about their daily life, they're looking for something. They have goals in life, maybe, or something that they want to do. You know, our forefathers came to America looking for a better life. They came looking for something that they did not have where they were at. And many of our ancestors came here because some came here because of persecution in the country where they were at. Some came here because they just felt that their families would be better off in this new world that they were coming to. And they came here to seek something. And people are still today coming to America to hopefully find a better life. And I know we talk a lot about immigration sometimes, and I really don't want to get into that. But I got news. One thing I do believe, if you're coming to America to get a better life, then don't try to make it like the life you left behind. You know, and some people want to do that. But they were looking for something. Now I want to go back to Genesis chapter 17, verse 5. And this is when God calls Abraham out of his home. Genesis chapter 17, verse 5. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Now here, Abraham is about 99 years old, and he still has not gotten the promise that God made him back when he said, go to a place that I'm going to show you. You know, it takes a lot to get up and go to a place that we don't know where we're going, or to a strange country, or to some place that you don't know what it's going to be like and you don't know what to expect. And Abraham has done this because God has promised him something. So here he is. He's 99 years old. He still does not have that child, that heir, that God has promised him. You see, it's been around 24 years since God spoke to him and said, I want you to go. And I'm going to bless you if you go. and I'm going to provide for you, and I'm going to give you an heir that your seed would be as the sands of the sea, as the stars of the sky. 24 years later, he's been some tough times. He's had to have some battles. He's had to go rescue Lot when Lot got taken prisoner. He's seen Lot get his life messed up and move into Sodom. He's seen all of these things take place. He's also seen some other things that shouldn't have taken place because he tried to help God out. And sometimes we try to help God out along our journey and we get ourselves into a big mess. And we are still paying the consequences today of that mess that got started way back there. So here he is, 99 years old. It's been 24 years. He's traveled a lot of miles. You know, for us today to go a lot of miles is not necessarily a big thing. You know, we can get in a car and we can drive for 8 hours and we can be 500-600 miles away from where we were at. But then it was many days' journey to go a distance like that. Even for folks living just 100 years ago, that was a long distance to go. To us anymore, it's nothing, you know. Now we can get on a plane and we can fly around the world, you know. Back then, it would have taken years to have done that. He's done all of these things, and still he has not gotten that promise fulfilled. However, at the age of 100, God fulfills his promise in the fact that Isaac is born. The heir to God's promise that God had made Abraham that he was going to fulfill. Now, some would say, well, I have one child, you know. I remember down in Guyana, we were talking to some pastors down there, and this has been a number of years ago, and one pastor, he was talking about, you know, how many kids he had. He had a house full. I mean, he almost made like that program on TV, you know, 19 and counting. He almost made them look like pikers, you know. And he believed, you know, your quiver is full, you're blessed of God, the more children you have. And here Abraham is, he's 100 years old, and he's finally got the son that God promised him. But he'd held on all that time. 25 years is a long time to wait for something, isn't it? But he was looking for that because God had made him a promise. And God had said, if you will go where I lead you, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your seed as the sands of the sea. Throughout this, the world's going to be blessed. If you'll just follow me and you'll do what I call you to do. It's a long time. So the question is, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Well, all of us are looking for something. Some are looking for fame. You ever know somebody who's looking for fame? Maybe none of us here looking for fame, but we read stories every once in a while that we need to find fame. People who are looking for fame that want to find something that they don't have. We know people that are searching for fame. You know, we read about it in the paper all the time. They do all kinds of things to try to find fame. They want to be a star. We drive through the streets of downtown Nashville, and you see people walking around in raggedy clothes carrying that guitar. Man, and they come to Nashville. They're going to find fame. They're going to make it big as a country star. And the sad part is, most of them will never make it. I remember when I moved here to Tennessee and I would go someplace to buy something and it happened to be I was down closer to Nashville when I was going to some of these stores and I'd walk in there and the person would say, well, I'm only working here for the meantime because I'm here to, you know, to make it big in the country music business. You know, they were looking for that fame. They were trying to find something. The Bible tells us about some people here, some that looked for fame. Esther chapter 3, verse 1 says, and these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Haggite, and advanced him, and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. Now here was a man by the name of Haman, and he was looking for fame. And he got it. He got advanced in the kingdom. And if you go ahead and you read the rest of the book of Esther, you find out that Haman got ticked off when a guy by the name of Mordecai didn't bow down to him. Ah! Off with his head, so to speak, you know. He didn't bow down to me. I am Mr. Haman, and you better pay attention to who I am, because the king has promoted me, and so on, you know. He wanted that kind of fame. And there are people who, when they find that fame, it goes to their head. I've known some preachers that have found some fame, and it went to their head. And eventually, things happened to them that shouldn't have happened. So he found fame. But what happened in the end? It all turned against him, and he was hanged on the gallows he built for somebody else. He was searching for fame. Luke chapter 5, verse 15 says, "For so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and the great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." And this is speaking of Jesus. Jesus went about healing the sick, unstopping deaf ears, making the lame to walk. He didn't go around saying, "I'm Mr. Jesus, and I'm important. You should roll out the red carpet when I come into your town. You should put me up in the finest of hotels when I come to your town." No, he just went about doing good, the Bible tells us. Went about doing all these things. And people begin to hear about it. And they want to come out and they wanted to see this Jesus. This one who was going about doing good. He wasn't turning people away. He wasn't saying, "No, I don't think I want to pray for you. You know, you're not worthy of my prayer. You over here, yeah, you, I'll pray for you. No, you come back another day." No, he prayed for those that came to him. And the fame went out about what was happening here and what Jesus was doing. Are we doing these things today? Are we doing what Jesus wants us to do? Some are looking for wealth. A lot of people out there looking for wealth. You know, it's kind of interesting. Sometimes you walk into a place that sells lottery tickets and you wait in line while somebody's buying, it seems like, a great big handful of tickets, and they're putting out all this money on the table for these tickets, and you look at them and you wonder, are they spending their entire paycheck trying to buy that one lucky ticket that's going to bring them wealth? I know they've done some shows on television about people who have won great sums of money like this, and where are they now? And you know what? A lot of them are broke because they couldn't handle it. I knew a person a number of years back, and he made it big in the business world. In fact, I've known more than one person that this happened to, that they made it big in the in their business, and they came into money. And their families couldn't handle it. Their families broke up. Went their separate ways. Because they couldn't handle it. Because, as has been mentioned before, money is not the root of all evil. It's what we want to do with it sometimes. And it's that love of it. That's what gets us into trouble. So some people are looking for wealth. There's a man in the Bible in Luke chapter 12, verses 18 and 19. "Then he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and I will build bigger ones. And I'll store all my wheat and other goods there. Then I'll say to myself, you're a lucky man. You have a big supply of goods laid up that will last many years. Start taking it easy. Eat, drink, enjoy yourself.'" Now here was somebody who thought he had it made. "I've got it all." Today this man would say, "I've got my money invested wisely. I've invested in the things that the stock market's not going to affect, and I've done this and I've done that. I can live the life now. I can take it easy. But what does the Bible tell us as we go on to read about this man? He goes on to say, "Thou fool, this night your soul will be required of you." His money was not going to do him any good. Colossians chapter 3, verse 24 says, "Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." Where is our wealth at? Our wealth is not what we have here on planet Earth, because eventually some of it will turn to dust. A lot of it, at the time we pass on, will end up in somebody else's hands. Did you ever look at the things you've got that you hold dear? And we all have our little treasures, you know. Things that we collect. Things that we keep, you know. And did you ever look at those things? I've spent my lifetime gathering this thimble collection. And I've got thimbles from all around the world that someday all that precious thimble collection is going to end up in someone else's hands. Probably many people's hands. And whether or not they'll have the same attachment to it that you have, who knows? I know somebody's probably out there thinking about my Donald Duck collection. And I was thinking about that the other day. Someday, all these Donald Ducks will end up in somebody else's hands. You know? But that is only things that are transient. They're a passing thing. Where is our wealth? The Bible tells us if we're a servant of Jesus Christ, He has laid up a place for us. He has laid up something in store for us that the world cannot take away. It is something that is not going to be destroyed. It's something that the moth is not going to come along and eat. You're not going to have a mouse get into it and chew it up. You're not going to have all of these things happen. You're not going to have somebody break in and steal it. Because He's laid up for us a reward that is eternal. You know, sometimes God's plan for us is not what we have planned for us. And I'm sure going back to Abraham had no idea as he was growing up and became a young man, got married, that he was going to end up in a distant country that he'd never even heard of. Doing some things he'd never thought about. No idea. Some of us like to plan out our lives. And there's nothing wrong with it, especially if you're a young person growing up saying, "This is the career I'd like to get into. This is where I'd like to, the job I'd like to have, where I would earn my living to take care of my family," or whatever. Nothing wrong with that. But we've also got to be prepared that God may have some other plans for us as to what we want to do. Think about it. Some of you here think back to when you were in your late teens, early 20s. Have your plans changed from the ones that you had back then? I see just about everybody here is shaking their heads. Some who are young are shaking their heads. Yes, my plans have already changed. And I can remember as I was a teenager, one of the things I wanted to do was go into law enforcement. I wanted to be a cop. That was my dream. But there were two things. Number one, back at that time, they had a height requirement. And I never got tall enough. But also, they changed that requirement during the time I would have still been eligible to do that. But God changed my pathway. And one night at an altar, as I was praying, he spoke to me and said, I want you to preach my gospel. This is what I want you to do. And you know what? From that moment forward, and I still remember that moment quite clearly, because there's a little church in a storefront, and I was kneeling at a folding chair against the south wall of the building. I remember it that well when God spoke to me and said, I want you to preach my word. And my life changed then. My career plans changed. What I wanted to do changed. And over the years, I've done a lot of things to help put food on the table and bring in a paycheck. But that primary goal in my life has always been to preach the gospel. And I've been doing it for over 50 years. Preach it wherever I can, however I can. Because God changed my plans. And some of you that are here today, and maybe some that are listening to me today in other places, God has spoken to your heart and he has changed the plans that you had for your life. And he's led you in a different pathway. The question is, are you looking for what God wants you to be? Are you looking to be the person that God wants you to be? Some people are, some people aren't. But that's the thing that we need to be doing, is to be looking for what God wants us to be. And sometimes that's not necessarily what we want to be. It may take us in an entirely different pathway. Are you looking for that city whose builder and maker is God? You know, down here on planet Earth, we have our dreams of what we'd like to have. We'd like to have nice homes. Does anybody want to live in a shack like the Beverly Hillbillies lived in before they moved to California? You know? No. We would like to have nice homes, nice things, all the conveniences that there are to have today. But sometimes those things change for us. Been there. I've had the nice home. I had a home in California that when we moved there, my plan was, when I left there, it was because they were carrying me out on a stretcher on my way to that plot that is 4 foot by however many feet by so many feet deep. That was the way I was going to leave there, because I had what I thought I had sought for all my life. 6 years later, we're in a truck headed for Tennessee, because God changed my plans. God moved us in a different direction. The house I had there, as beautiful as it was, doesn't compare with the place that God's got laid up for me, though. Amen. You know, they have wind storms in that part of California, and the winds sometimes hit 100 plus miles an hour. In fact, just this past week, one area sustained winds of 100 miles an hour, gusts of 150 miles an hour. I don't like living in that. And it tears places up. But the place that God is building for me, I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about making the mortgage payment, because Jesus already paid for it. I'm going to move in. I'm not going to owe a dime, because it's the place he built for me. John chapter 14, verse 2, and this is Jesus speaking. In my Father's house are many places to live. If there weren't, I would have told you, because I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And the place that Jesus has prepared for us is beyond imagination. It's more than we can even dream about. And the bank's never going to take it away. Landlord's never going to come and say, when are you going to pay the rent? It's never going to burn down. Wind's not going to blow it away. The earthquakes aren't going to cause it to crumble. No, it's the place that God built for us. And it'll be ours for eternity. That's what we need to be looking for. We need to be looking for what God has in store for us. And yes, right now, like Abraham, we are strangers in a strange land. But we are looking for that city. And that day is coming that we're going to enter into that city. Abraham followed God all those many years, going from place to place, following God because God spoke to him to do so. And for a long time, it didn't look like any of these things that God had promised him were going to take place. But they did. They were fulfilled. And through Isaac, his seed became as the sands of the sea, as the stars of the sky. He became a mighty nation. He became all those things that God had promised him. And yes, we never may be wealthy here on planet Earth. We may never be famous, but that's okay. Because we've got a Heavenly Father who has it all. You know, they have a lot of these so-called reality programs on television. And you can watch the lives of so-and-so. To me, sometimes I think that's the most disgusting television on. You know, I really don't care to see them flaunt what they've got. And I really don't care to watch a program that has to have every third word bleeped. You know? Oh, they're famous. They're famous. They're famous. But every last one of them's wealth is someday going to crumble. It'll end up in somebody else's hands. But God has the cattle on 1,000 hills. My Father, He's the King of the universe. And if you're not serving Jesus Christ, if you've not given your heart and life to God, you've not been washed in the blood of the Lamb, the Bible tells us that then your father is the devil. And all he's got is going to burn. Bible tells us in the end what he has is going to be cast into the lake of fire where it will burn forever and ever. But my Heavenly Father's got a place prepared for me. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that city. I'm looking for that city that he's built for me, that he's promised me. And someday, I'm going to go there. It might be by the way of the grave, but I'll tell you, I'm expecting to be by the way of the rapture. I'm expecting to be around when that trumpet, that shofar, sounds. And I'm changed in that blink of an eye, and I go to meet him in the clouds. I've had one request of God for several years. And I really believe that I'm going to be around when that happens. And my one request for him is that me and my wife can be side by side at the time holding hands when it takes place. Because I want to go up to meet the Lord with her. You know, God is so good to us. He has so blessed us. But the blessings he's given us don't compare to what's in store for us. And if you're listening to me today and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today is the day. This is the moment. This is the time. And all you've got to do is say, Jesus, I'm so sorry for my sin. And today, I want to accept what you did for me on the cross of Calvary. I want to let your sacrifice Your blood that was shed on my behalf, wash away my sin. And I want to accept you as my Lord and Savior. Come into my heart right now, Lord Jesus. And if you pray a prayer just as simple as that, and you, with every fiber of your being, believe in Jesus Christ, He'll do it. I know some people say, well, just pray this prayer and you'll be okay. And people pray it and they go on and do their thing because they really didn't mean it. But if you believe it with all your heart and you mean it with all your heart, He'll come in. You'll be His child. And even though the world may kick you around, even though some folks listening to me may have to eat the scraps at some time, you've got a place laid up for you because He's got a place prepared for you. Father, today I thank You that You loved us so much that You sent the best gift heaven had to offer, and that was Your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the sacrifice for our sins, that through His shed blood on the cross of Calvary, we could have forgiveness. And Father, I pray today for those that are listening, that are accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior, Father, that You would speak to their hearts, Father. Give them guidance, give them direction, Father. Let the Holy Spirit, Father, speak to many, maybe in places where they can't get counseling or help from other Christians as to how, what the Christian life is about. But Father, I know the Holy Spirit can give them guidance and wisdom. And Father, meet these needs, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.